To make it in today's business world, you've got to dress for success. The same could be said about your spiritual life in Christ. To live the Christian life successfully, you need to dress for spiritual success. That is, you've got to put off the vices of the flesh and put on the virtues of the Spirit. In other words, lay aside that old filthy garment that is stained by the flesh with sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Accessorize your spiritual wardrobe with love, forbearance, and a commitment to harmonize with others in the body of Christ. Are you dressed for spiritual success? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Are you dressed for spiritual success? Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Well, before you can put on new clothes, you may have to take off a few things. Ron tells you all about this wardrobe change next as he moves ahead in his teaching series, Colossians, Jesus is Greater Than. Remember to come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now from Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as the lead pastor, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, putting on your new self.
When I was a senior in college at Purdue University, like a lot of seniors, I began my senior year setting my sights on getting a job. And like a lot of universities, Purdue had a placement center. And what you did back then, and I suppose now, is your senior year, you get registered at the placement center. And corporations from all over the country and really around the world would come and interview potential graduates. And I remember beginning of my senior year, my parents helped me get an interview suit. You know, that guys, that blue suit, that white shirt, and you had to have the red tie, the power tie, right? That's how you went into an interview back then. For my degree program and for what I was going into, which was sales and marketing, one of the coveted interviews on campus was with the Xerox Corporation. Now, you got to understand, back then, Xerox sales training was the industry standard. And maybe it still is today, I don't know. But a lot of companies, even other than Xerox, used Xerox sales training to train their sales force. But Xerox was coming to campus, and I signed up and hoped to get an interview. And I got an interview with Xerox. I was so excited. The day before, though, I realized as I was getting ready for the interview, I hadn't taken my one white shirt to the dry cleaners to have it properly cleaned and pressed. It was laying over here in my laundry pile, and I didn't have an opportunity to take it to the dry cleaners, so I did what every college student does. You grab it out of the pile there, and you get the ironing board, and you do this, right? It wasn't that dirty because I just used it the week before for another interview, wore it for an hour or two, but I did the ironing board thing. Showed up for my Xerox interview the next day, and the interview went well. In fact, at the end of the interview, the guy who came to campus offered me a second interview, which meant going to their regional offices. And so I thought it went really well. We finished the interview. I shook his hand. Before he let go of my hand, though, he says, "By the way, when you come to our regional offices, make sure you send your shirt to the dry cleaners and have it properly cleaned and pressed." I thought, well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a very good point. I was dying on the inside. Because back then, and maybe even still now, the Xerox Corporation was one of those companies you dressed for success, right? Now, I know a lot of corporate things that we wear in the business world has gone more casual. But back then, Xerox and IBM and companies, you dressed for success. And he was telling me, when you come to the corporate offices, you make sure your shirt is properly pressed. Okay, I got the point. Well, this morning, I don't want to talk to you about dressing for corporate success. I want to talk to you about dressing for spiritual success. Are you dressed for spiritual success? That's the question of the morning. I think that's the question the Apostle Paul is getting at here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, because he's going to tell us to put off some things and put on other things. And it's the picture of taking off your old ragged clothes and laying those aside and putting on your new clothes, putting on your new self, laying aside your old self and putting on your new self. I've titled the message, Putting on Your New Self, but if I had a chance at a second title, it would be Dressing for Spiritual Success. Now, before we get to the hows and to the text, let me just kind of tell you where we are in our study of Colossians and where Paul is. Pretty common to Paul's New Testament letters and to his writings is that he deals with his theology first. He lays out his doctrine in the first half of the book. And he's pretty much done that in the book of Colossians through chapter 3 and verse 4. And he says in so many ways, Jesus is greater than. He takes on the false teachers who were talking about a less than Jesus, and he takes them straight on. And there's just been some wonderful and rich theology that Paul gives us. But Paul's theology, his orthodoxy, is never far from his orthopraxy. All right? Paul can scale Mount Everest when it comes to theology. And I love it when somebody can do that. But at the same time, you don't want to scale Mount Everest in theology and distance yourself too much to the everyday practical realities and the ethical realities and demands of living out the Christian faith. In other words, how do we put this all into practice? So what? Why does this even matter? And beginning in verse 5 of chapter 3, Paul begins a discussion of how all this impacts our daily life, how we're getting down to the getting down, right? This isn't the ivory tower anymore. This is real, practical application of the good theology he's given us up to this point, including how we talked last week about our new identity in Christ. And here come the implications to that. So with that in mind, let's talk about now dressing for spiritual success. What does it look like to take all the good theology that we've learned in our study of Colossians, put it into practice in a way that we live the Christian life successfully? And Paul gives us five instructions that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, and I'll begin negative because that's where he begins. Before we put on the new self, a positive way of saying it, he tells us, put off something else. I say, put off the vices of the flesh. Here's how Paul says it beginning in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Again, I say, put off the vices of the flesh. Later, Paul's going to say, you know, lay these things aside like you're laying aside an old, dirty old garment. Because now you need to dress for spiritual success and to put on some other things. He uses some stronger language, though, beginning in verse 5. He doesn't just say put it off or lay it aside. He says put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he pulls no punches by talking about some of those earthly things that defined the old you and the old me. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. You know, not quite the dirty dozen, but boy, you get a sense of the old self. Put this to death, he says. Put to death what is earthly in you. Kind of reminds me of Romans chapter 6 that tells us we are dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Remember, we are fundamentally identified with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means we are We are dead to sin, meaning sin is no longer master over us. It's no longer calling the shots in our life. You don't have to answer to the old sin master, but you are alive to Christ. Here he says, now we have a responsibility to, in a practical way, put some things to death. We've died to sin, but you got to put it to death every day as well. Now, it kind of reminds me of a phrase that I sometimes hear in our culture today. It's not a real nice thing to say to somebody else, but it applies here. So just hang with me a bit. But have you ever heard somebody say, or have you said to somebody else, you're dead to me? It's a way of saying to somebody, this relationship is over. You're dead to me. I didn't say it was a kind thing to say. Every relationship has its redeemable qualities, right? But I use that because I think that's kind of what Paul would say to us here. You need to say to your old self, maybe characterized by sexual immorality and impurity, all that is earthly in you, you need to say, you're dead to me. This relationship with sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness or greed, and I'm done with this relationship, okay? Fundamentally, I have a new identity and a new relationship, and I'm living out of that, but you're dead to me. This is what Paul would say. And he would say that there are a couple of reasons for that. Not only are we dead to sin, but alive to Christ, but he goes on in verse 6 to say, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, that's a kind of an ominous thought, the wrath of God. Coming against those who are practitioners of sexual immorality and so forth. He's not saying that the believer in Jesus Christ is the object of God's wrath, because we're not. As believers in Jesus, we've been rescued from the wrath of God and from his condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But to those who are not in Christ by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is coming upon these things. Paul is setting up this argument that these kinds of activities, these kinds of behaviors are unbecoming of the believer in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. Notice the past tense. And what he's saying is this sort of lifestyle, these earthly things are unbecoming of a believer in Jesus. He says, put them to death. You're dead to me. This relationship is over.
Don't go away. Dr. Ron Jones will be right back with the second half of today's Something Good radio message, putting on your new self.
Some of life's greatest adventures take place on a road trip. Nothing is more enjoyable than traveling the open highway with the windows rolled down and the music turned up. Each town, each exit, an experience all its own. Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio, and today I'm inviting you to take a road trip with me. You see, I'm convinced that reading the Bible is the greatest literary adventure you can ever take. But with 66 books, 2 testaments, and more than 600,000 words, it can be a daunting journey to attempt. That's why I wrote my 2-volume book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, where I give you a bird's eye view of God's Word so you can clearly see how it all fits together. All 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So pack your bags and join me on the ultimate road trip through the Bible. You'll be glad you did. Here's Brian with details.
The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1 and 2, can be yours today by request for your gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. When you order the print versions, you'll also get instant access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to request the 2-volume set and to gain immediate access to the Route 66 Digital Library. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Pastor Ron, not only did you break this project up into 2 volumes, but you created what you call 8 different road trips, 5 in the Old Testament and 3 in the New. help our listeners understand the motivation behind that literary structure.
You know, Brian, categorizing the various books of the Bible into 8 separate groups is nothing new. They include the books of the law, the Old Testament historical books, the wisdom books, the major prophets, the minor prophets. Then we're into the Gospels and the early church, the Pauline epistles, and we finish up with the general epistles in Revelation. But when I first decided to compare the reading of God's Word to a travel adventure, well, it took me almost no time to come up with the phrase road trip to identify these 8 sections of Scripture. What I believe the reader will begin to see a little more clearly is that the books of the law, for example, point to the person and work of Jesus Christ as much as the Gospels do. That's because the Bible is one story with one main character. His name is Jesus, and he is the Christ. My hope is that by experiencing the 66 books of the Bible as 8 separate road trips, this overarching theme will be easier to recognize and understand.
I just love this book, Pastor. It's been such a blessing in my life. Again, that's The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Both volumes are yours as our thank you when you give a gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. As believers in Christ, we're asked to put some things to death and to put other things away. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, putting on your new self.
He goes on to list other things. He moves from sexual sins to what we might call social or relational sins. Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. He goes from put them to death to the clothing picture of laying aside the old garments. You must put them away. Now he lists, get this, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. He goes on to say, don't lie to one another. Again, actions and behaviors that are unbecoming of who you are in Jesus Christ now. It's interesting, in the list of sexual sins, the word impurity is the Greek word porneia. Where do you think we go with that in our culture today? Sexual immorality is rampant in our culture, just as it was in the first century. And new believers in Jesus Christ had to now pursue a life of purity, understanding, of course, that sex is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. He created us in his image. He made us male and female, and then he told us, be fruitful and multiply within the context of the marriage relationship, which he also created the institution of marriage, which is defined biblically as one man with one woman for one lifetime. Any sexual expression outside of one man with one woman inside the context of the marriage relationship could be defined as sexual immorality. It's rampant in our culture today, but should not be named among, you know, believers in Jesus Christ who are to pursue purity. Likewise, these social sins, even sins of the tongue, we don't get as shocked by these. I wonder why that is. He begins with anger and wrath. Now, there are 2 Greek words in that language that can be translated anger, 2 kinds of anger, orge and thumos. Orge is that deep-seated anger, that root of bitterness. You can never detect it on the outside, but it's been lingering there for days, maybe weeks, maybe even years. You've been holding a grudge against somebody and you're orge, you're angry. Thumos is that, you know, spark of loss of temper. You know, it's very visible. I always say I'd rather have somebody be thumos toward me than orge toward me. I can't detect the orge. Maybe through passive-aggressive kinds of activities, you know, but it's never visible. He says anger and wrath. He goes on to malice, you know, that intentional kind of getting back at you. Then he talks about sins of the tongue, slander and obscene talk from your mouth. He says don't lie to one another. We could go on to talk about, you know, gossip and backbiting. You know what backbiting is? It's when you talk about somebody negatively behind their back. Come on now. Let's have a face-to-face conversation. And what he's saying is, this is all part of the old you. And it doesn't define who you are in Christ anymore. You got to lay that aside. You got to put that to death. You got to say, this relationship is over. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Now, I know that's, a process in the Christian life. We call that sanctification. There's one sense that we are sanctified. There's another sense in which we are being sanctified. And not one of us is perfect in this, but Paul is saying here, if you want to dress for spiritual success, put on the new self. Not the improved you, but the brand new you in Jesus Christ. I remember back when Catherine and I were dating, I had a pair of gold shorts, gold denim shorts that I liked to wear. And this was back during the era, too, where tube socks were popular. The ones that were kind of mid-calf or just below the knee, the white socks with the, the colored rings around them. You put that with a good pair of tennis shoes and a nice shirt, and I'm ready to go out on a date, honey. And my wife, every time I showed up in those gold shorts, she just kind of looked at me like, you got to be kidding me. And we had this thing going on, especially during our time of engagement. She wanted me to get rid of them. I said, no, I really like these. I'm comfortable in them. And I probably wore them too often because I didn't have that broad of a wardrobe. But when we got married, I went looking for my gold shorts one day, and they were missing. I learned she had thrown them away. She had taken my precious gold shorts I felt so good in and those tube socks, and she had gotten rid of them. She put them to death somewhere. And that's what Paul's saying here.
For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share Something Good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
When you partner with Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. Join today using the Partners tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call 757-276-1099.
You're also loved. Anybody here just need to remember again and be reminded that God loves you? Maybe you've had a hard week and you don't feel very loved today. But God doesn't love you more today than he did yesterday. He doesn't love you more or less because of what you did or didn't do, because of how you performed well or didn't perform well. He just loves you.
God doesn't love you because of. He loves you in spite of. Dr. Ron Jones unpacks that idea tomorrow in part two of his message, Putting On Your New Self. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.